I should explain that this evening the service is conducted initially by Adam Dillon, who was inducted to the church at Sherbrooke Moss Park just a couple of weeks ago. The induction will be taken by Robert Hind, who's the moderator of Presbytery, but since he's not a minister, he's an elder, he's unable to ordain Gillian, and so the ordination will be led by Dan Carmichael, who's a former moderator of Presbytery, who is currently minister at Lindsay Union, and who grew up in this church. So there is rather a family affair to some of this evening. I think that after I've finished, Dave Thompson is going to come and give one or two announcements and housekeeping, but as the presbytery clerk, I'm required to read out a formal intimation just in case you think that Gillian Rooney should not become the minister here. I'll be astonished if anyone follows me out, but church law is that I need to read this. Intimation is hereby given to all whom it may concern that the Presbytery of Glasgow is now meeting in a hall of this church. If any person has any objection to make to the life or doctrine of Mrs. Gillian Rooney, they are to declare the same forthwith to the Presbytery with certification, along with an explanation satisfactory to the Presbytery that there was no earlier opportunity to bring the objection to the attention of the Presbytery. If no relevant objections are immediately substantiated, the presbytery will proceed forthwith to the ordination and induction. Thank you, and over to you, Dave.
May I wish you all a very good evening to this service of ordination and induction of Mrs. Gillian Rooney to the pastoral charge of Giffnock Orchard Hill by the Presbytery of Glasgow. I'm Robert Hind, I'm the moderator of the Presbytery, and it will be my privilege later in the service, following her ordination by my predecessor and friend, the Reverend Dan Carmichael, to induct Gillian as a minister of this congregation. You're all very welcome to this service here in Orchard Hill. I'd particularly like to welcome those who've come to support Gillian from places as distant from here as Edinburgh, Aberdeen, Angus, Orkney and Manchester. Indeed, I understand that even some people here from Kilmarnock. I would also take this opportunity to welcome all those who cannot be with us this evening, but who are joining this special service by live stream. You are also very welcome, and we hope you're able to join in this very, very hopeful and joyful service. Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in Christ, on this happy occasion and in this fellowship of faith, let us bless the Lord who has brought us to this day and who has given us his Spirit in our hearts. Let's sing together in CH 4175, "Praise, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart."
When we long for the special effects that we think that life should offer, it is enough that God comes to us in the cold, soft winter's drizzle. When our hearts are cracked by the drought of doubt, it is enough that God opens up the fountains of faith for us. And when our senses are deadened by the sales pitches of our culture, it is enough for us that God wraps us in the silence of grace. Let us gather before God together in prayer. Let us pray. We have chosen to love you, God of wonder. Not just the smallest part when we think of you once in a while or call out your name, but all of you. The grace which wraps us like a shawl. The safe space you offer when we are scared. The joy which teaches us new songs. We have chosen to follow you, Jesus, our guide, our brother. Not just the baby steps of faith when we are just starting the journey with you, but all of you. The steep hill of discipline, which leads to self-denial. The bumpy road potholed with fears, which leads to trust. The dusty way of death, which leads to life. We have chosen to learn from you wisdom of the universes, not just the letters of grace and the numerals of wonder, but all of you. The passion of your heart for others, which teaches us justice. The skills of reconciliation, so we can build bridges, not walls. The songs resounding in your soul, so that we can bear fruit for those around us. We have chosen you, all of you, God in community, holy in one. So draw us near to you this hallowed night as we gather for Gillian's ordination and induction. A place that you have chosen in your calling to Gillian. A place that draws Gillian to you in her calling. And a place that calls the congregation and community of Giffnock Orchard Hill together as minister and faith community with Gillian, Mark, Sally, Clara and Martha. God shows us another way, the way those who are filled with mercy and hope can follow, the way of living by the Spirit. So we go out this day as a forgiven people, given grace freely by our God, who breathes life into us in this and every moment. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 15. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram."
Our New Testament reading is from Galatians 3, verses 23 to 29. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Lorna. Let us worship God together, singing, "O God, you search me and you know me."
You search me and
Please be seated. It is indeed a great privilege and true pleasure to come here tonight and share in the joyous occasion of the ordination and induction of your new minister, Gillian. I myself was inducted into my charge just 2 weeks ago today, although it's not Torrance, as it says on the order of service, but Sherbrooke Moss Park. And so the occasion of a night like this is very fresh in my thoughts as well. Familiar phrases are such a large part of our vocabulary that sometimes we know them so well that we don't even have to use the words. We simply use initials. As a result of this, we have become a society where we use initials all the time. For example, if you lived south of the border, you could sit a GCSE. And if you kept getting A's, you could go on. You might graduate and get an MA or a BSc, or if you're awfully clever, a PhD. If you graduate, you could get a job as a CEO for IBM. You might be fortunate enough to drive a BMW. And if you're no well, then you can go and see your GP, who might refer you to an ANP in the NHS. You could be a PA to the MD of the BBC, or if you don't like the BBC, maybe it's ITV. Your sport might be SPFL or PGA or SRU. Your team might be mine, PTFC. And if the bowling green is your bag, then your competition might be the BIWBC. You safeguard your motoring with the RAC or the AA. You could smell nice with DKNY. You could order your clothes online from H&M and you can have them delivered by DPD. You could spend your Saturdays at B&Q. You could have M&Ms in your dessert at KFC. You could have a lovely BBQ on a summer Sunday afternoon, washed down with a cheeky G&T, or for the kids, a J2O. You could have HMRC chasing you, who might want to freeze your accounts at RBS, TSB, or HSBC, but it's okay because they don't know about your account at MBNA. Or you could go on holiday from the UK to the USA with BA, or you could stay closer to home and remain with the EU. You could even be a member of the C of S. But this evening, I want to share with you some other kinds of initials. Initials that really can be life transforming. PBP, WM, GIF, WMY. They roll off the tip of your tongue so easily. PBP, WM, GIF, WMY. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Aren't you glad you came to this service tonight? Because I believe that those words can be life transforming. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Please be patient with me because God isn't finished with me yet. First of all, it means that we're all a work in progress, and that is so liberating. Our problem is that so many of us think that we have to be perfect or that somebody else has to be perfect. And we set expectations for ourselves or others, expectations that quite frankly nobody could meet. And it helps to remember that Christians, all of us, are a work in progress. And throughout Christian history, we have debated the theological doctrine of sanctification of Christian perfectionism. The idea that as we grow in Christ, we become more like Christ. We believe that. But what we don't often mention is that we don't become perfected or fully sanctified until we enter the kingdom of heaven. So sometimes we lay the expectations on ourselves and on each other that we are going to be perfect in this life. We put heroes, government leaders, business leaders, church leaders, parish ministers, way up there on pedestals. And if that person doesn't meet our expectation, then he or she comes crashing down. And in a sense, Elijah was put on a pedestal. We think he's one of the two great prophets of all of Israel. He must have had everything in his life together. And then we come across 1 Kings chapter 19, where we read that he's discouraged, that he's depressed, that he's feeling defeated and he's ready to quit. And we scratch our heads and we say, this is one of the two great prophets of Israel. But it's liberating too, because Elijah was a human being just like us. Please be patient with him. God isn't finished with him yet. Elijah still had more work to be done in his life. He needed to learn patience. He needed to learn perseverance. Elijah needed a sense of perspective. He thought that he was alone and that the burden was all on his shoulders. But Elijah had forgotten about the 7,000 other prophets. God had to teach Elijah trust. Isn't that the most interesting thing? Elijah was the prophet who preached trust. He told the people of Israel, you've got to put your trust in God Almighty. And the people put their trust in the Baals and the other cults. And Elijah said, put your trust in God and God alone. But the very lesson that he taught others, he needed to learn to live out himself. Henri Nouwen, Roman Catholic priest, brilliant author, passed away in 1996, taught that so often as a priest, he dispensed the bread of life while spiritually starving himself. He recognized that he was a work in progress and that there were things in his life that weren't right. So now I want to ask you this question. If God could spend an hour with you, and you could spend an hour with God, and if God could teach you one lesson, what is the one lesson that you think God would most like to teach you in your life? Do we need to learn balance? Do we need to learn trust? Does anyone need to learn patience? Perseverance? Is anyone a procrastinator? Putting things off? Would you really need to address it right now? What's the one lesson that you need to address most in your life? And when you think about that, hear these words, please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. It reminds me that everyone, even the ones we put on pedestals, are works in progress. When we feel discouraged, when we feel defeated, when we feel ready to pack it all in, God still has more work for us to do. And this is so important. Elijah thought that he was finished. He was at the back of a cave. He was ready to retire. He thought God had forgotten about him, that God had lost his phone number and couldn't get in touch with him. He was mad at God, mad at himself, mad at the circumstances. He put his fists together and his arms together and he said, that's it. God is finished with me and I'm finished with God. That's it. But be very sure, God is never finished with us. And as we start to emerge out of this pandemic, and as people begin to return to church, we do have that sense where some people think that they might want to stop doing something that they've been doing. Or maybe they've got out of the habit of being part of a community of faith. And that's the moment that we all have to remind ourselves that God isn't finished with us yet. There's still much to be done. The reward for work well done is more work, and I can see the excitement in your eyes when I say that. But that will be the challenge, Gillian. That will be the challenge coming out of COVID, coming into this new chapter of your life here in a church that you already know. But that's the thing, because you already have a congregation who know you. And with their love and support, and with your joint hard work, there is much to look forward to. The reward for work well done is more work, but you know it's true. The Bible is replete with story after story of people who thought their lives were finished, that God still had more for them to do. Abraham and Sarah thought they were too old to have a baby. They were finished. But God wasn't finished with them yet. At their advanced age, they gave birth to a son, Isaac. Daniel was in the lion's den thinking, well, that's me, I'm finished, I'm a goner. Lazarus was dead in his tomb, life was over, but God wasn't finished with any of them yet. Jesus Christ was on the cross, and from his disciples' point of view, his life and their hope was finished. That was it. He said he's on the cross. He's bleeding. This is it. We thought that he was the Messiah, but obviously he's just a great man who died, and they wept. But God wasn't finished with Jesus or with them yet, and God is not finished with us yet. God is not finished with any of us. Peter denied Jesus three times, denied him, and Peter said, that's it, my life is over. There's nothing more for me. But God used that to mold Peter into one of the finest, most courageous preachers, teachers, and leaders in the early church. Have we ever done anything of which we've been ashamed, like Peter did? Do you still find yourself holding on to it? Maybe God is saying, I'm not finished with you yet. I have more work for you to do. Don't close a door too soon. God says, I'm going to be patient with you because I'm not finished with you yet. Elijah thought God was finished. Elijah thought he was finished. He was through. But when he was in that cave, God said, Elijah, get outside of this cave. I want you to go and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Ben-Hadad is an evil king. They need a new king in Syria. You've got to go there and do it. And Israel needs a new king. I want Yehu, the commander of the military army, to be king. You're going to anoint him. And I want you to anoint Elisha as your successor. And by the way, there are 7,000 other people who need your influence. And suddenly, with that, Elijah stood a little straighter and a little taller because he realized that God had more for him to do. God was not finished yet. It's like a trapeze bar. You hang on to it for dear life. You swing and you sway with it, but it's not until you let go of one trapeze bar that you can see the other one swinging right over in front of you. But you cannot get to that bar unless you let go of the one you are holding. Sometimes it's not until we let go that we can find a new trapeze bar just waiting out there. Maybe it's a whole new life and a whole new world, and it's right out there, but we've got to let go of the thing that's holding us back. What's the name of that in your life? And maybe when you can name that, you can change the whole environment and allow you to let go. Catch hold of that new trapeze bar right out there for you. Or what is it? What's that one thing that you wish you could do in your life? The one thing that would excite you? The thing you've been put on the face of this earth to do. What's God got in store for you? What is it that God would like you to do here in this place, both Gillian and also you as a congregation? There was a boy in my school, Telfer. Telfer was built for the high jump. And our gym teacher kept raising the bar higher and higher. And one day he raised it to a red line on the support at the side, the school record. We all knew it. Telford knew that nobody had ever jumped that high before, and he knew that he could not jump that high. He said, "How in the world do you think I'm going to do that?" Mr. Brown said, "If you want to jump over a bar like that, there's only one way to do it. Throw your heart over the bar first, and the rest of you will follow." What's the one thing that God is calling you to do? Gillian, the congregation. What's the one thing that God is asking you as a congregation to do? I tell you, it may seem like a high jump bar. It may seem at times impossible as we get to grips with what's ahead. But if we throw our hearts over the bar first, give our hearts to God and throw them over the bar, the rest will follow. PBP, WM, GIF, WMY, please be patient with me. Please be patient with us. Please be patient with Gillian. Please be patient with each other. God isn't finished. There is so much more to do. And for people like Elijah, and for people like me who are imperfect, this is very good news. And I have a hunch, just a hunch, that it might be good news for you too. Amen. And let it be so. I'd like to invite you now to stand together as we say the words of the Apostles' Creed. Would you please stand? And let us say the words together as in the order of service. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us remain standing as we sing together our next hymn, 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you.
the church and parish of Giffnock, Orchard Hill, became vacant on 25th January 2021, following the demission of the Reverend Dr. Grant Barclay. Permission having been given to call a minister, and the necessary arrangements having been approved by the Presbytery and the General Assembly's Faith Nurture Forum, the congregation elected and called Mrs. Gillian Sarah Rooney, graduate candidate, to be their minister. The Presbytery sustained the election, having found Mrs. Rooney qualified for the appointment, and this day was agreed for her ordination and induction. Due notice has been given and no objections received. Accordingly, the Presbytery now proceeds to ordain Mrs. Gillian Rooney to the ministry of Word and Sacrament and induct her to the pastoral charge of the church and parish of Giffnock, Orchard Hill. Moderator.
The church's law can't be changed, and they may appear old, but what they do is to take us to the heart of what we're about as a church, to Jesus, to the church's call to share and to serve Jesus. We hear part of the church's heritage, of Gillian's call and her response, of God's promise to provide in the power of the Holy Spirit, as, according to Scripture, by prayer and the laying on of hands, we ordain Gillian. Gillian, will you come and stand here just at the front just now? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high, has given gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, we are met as a presbytery to ordain Gillian Sarah Rooney to the office of the Holy Ministry by prayer and the laying on of hands by the presbyters to whom it belongs, and to induct her to the pastoral charge of Giffnock, Orchard Hill. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the one Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all people, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labour in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognising liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. Gillian, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life?
I do.
Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this church?
I do.
Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this presbytery and to the General Assembly of this church and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government and discipline thereof, and to cherish a spirit of love towards all your brothers and sisters in Christ?
I do.
Are not zeal for the glory of God, love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, so far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter into the office of the Holy Ministry?
They are.
Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently and cheerfully to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God?
I do.
Do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of this charge and promise through grace to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among this people?
I do.
Gillian, you're now required to sign the appointed formula as a seal of the vows that you've taken.
The formula which Gillian is signing reads, I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church.
We sing together, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. And at the end of this hymn, can we remain standing for the prayer of ordination?
Thank you. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you call us in your mercy. You sustain us by your power. Through every generation, your wisdom supplies our need. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the apostle and high priest of our faith and the shepherd of our souls. By his death, he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, has poured out his Spirit, making some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all for the work of ministry and to build up his body, the church. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this your servant, Gillian, whom we now in your name and in obedience to your will, by the laying on of hands, ordain and appoint to the office of the Holy Ministry within the one Holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church, committing to her authority to minister your word and sacraments and to share in the government of your Church. As she listens with all God's people in this place for the living word and scripture and sacrament, may she joyously point to the source of their faith and gather them round the table of the Lord. Standing with them under judgment, may she recall them to purity of life in Christ. May she be for us all a source of strength and inspiration, that with her we may share in the ministry of Christ, bringing reconciliation to those who are divided, peace and healing to those who are broken, justice to those who are oppressed, and hope for those who are lost. Receive these our prayers for her, whose calling is to pray for all, and with all your faithful servants, bring her at the last into your eternal joy. Through Christ who died for us, rose again and lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, and in whose words we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Gillian, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and by authority of this presbytery, I induct you to this charge, and in token thereof, we give you the right hand of fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Ladies and gentlemen of the congregation of Giffnock Orchard Hill, it gives me the greatest pleasure to present to you this evening, for the very first time as your new minister, the Reverend Gillian Rooney. Please remain standing, because I have some questions now for the congregation. Do you, the people of this congregation, in receiving Gillian Rooney, whom you have called to be your minister, offer her your welcome and promise her your encouragement and your support?
We do.
Do you each now agree to share with your minister the responsibility for Christian witness and Christian service? And will you give of your time, talents and money for the work of the church in the world? Yes. You may be seated.
It is through Scripture that we are called to be Christ's body. Teach us the faith so that we may be true to the gospel.
Together, may we listen for the word of God.
In our words and our lives, may we declare the good news to all people.
By water and the Holy Spirit, we are claimed as God's own. Renew us in our calling and servants of Christ in the world.
Together, may we live out our baptism as a loving community in Christ.
May we nurture one another in faith, uphold one another in prayer, and encourage one another in service.
In celebrating Holy Communion, we know Christ present amongst us. Gather us around the table that we may be united in his body.
Together, may we celebrate the meal of the kingdom.
We shall always be ready to meet Christ in this place and show in our lives the promise of reconciliation.
Gillian, I'm about to give you some charges. Now, please don't worry about that. Gillian's not under arrest, and we're not expecting blue flashing lights outside or anything like that. These are charges to Gillian, some advice, some ideas for how she might now progress in her ministry with you. Would you all please stand? Gillian, we, your brothers and sisters in the Presbytery of Glasgow, rejoice with you that through the love and mercy of God, you have been called to minister in this place. Please be seated. Gillian, you have to stand. In fact, Gillian, you're not going to do a lot of sitting from now on. Gillian, it's fair to say that you're not unknown in this congregation and sanctuary. You've ministered to this congregation since September last year through 15 of the most difficult months that most of us here have known in our lives. What a start to any ministry. Well done, you. But tonight is different. Tonight, you stand before these people who I know that you already love as people of God with an obvious and radiant passion. You stand before them as their ordained minister of word and sacrament. Yes, you're now a minister of word and sacrament. How does that sound to you? Pretty good, huh? It should, because ministers of word and sacrament, like you, are very special people. As one who in the past struggled to understand whether or not I was called to be a minister of word and sacrament, a call which didn't come for me, my respect and admiration and my support as an elder for those who are called to the ministry of word and sacrament knows no bounds. Gillian, I know just how little of how long and how hard and how prayerfully and how diligently, and we go in for diligence in a big way in the Church of Scotland, how diligently you have tried and studied seeking to serve your Lord and Saviour. You've worked so very hard to reach this Kairos moment for you tonight. So my first charge to you this evening is that in the name of the Church, I charge you to seek to be worthy of your calling. Indeed, Gillian, you've already proved that over these last 15 months. with a humble spirit and a grateful heart, work for the building up of the body of Christ. Together with the people to whom you are bound, share in the ministry of the reconciliation of all things in Christ Jesus. Now, Gillian, before you began to study for the ministry, you were an occupational therapist. You started off life in West Lothian. You saw the light and moved to live in Kilmarnock, a route which I understand is a well-known one to the ministry of Orchard Hill. And then you spent a period of time living in Kilmarnock. Now, that's a sensible precaution to take as a minister of the Church of Scotland. Indeed, it may almost be essential, for so far in this 21st century, the majority of moderators of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland have either been born or educated or have lived in Kilmarnock. So there's no pressure, Gillian. For 20 years or more, you were an occupational therapist, working patiently with people on a one-to-one basis, getting them fit for life, often working with them to get them fit to go home. And for most patients, getting to go home is the ultimate goal, and you, with your professional skills, helped them to do that. Over time, as you explored your personal call to the ministry of Word and Sacrament, even although you cared deeply for those with whom you worked, your patients, and tried to treat their whole person, and not just help them to regain their life skills and to overcome their injuries or handicaps, allowing them to live fuller and richer lives, you realised that even though you worked with that whole person, for you that wasn't enough. And the only way forward was to yield to your call to the ministry of Word and Sacrament. In my view, you couldn't have a better set of skills which you displayed so magnificently as an occupational therapist for the parish ministry. For what is ministry if not working patiently with people, with the whole person, on a one-to-one basis, getting them fit for life, as our Lord told us, life in all its fullness, and working with them to get them fit to go in due time to their final home in the nearer presence of Almighty God. So my taking charge to you tonight is never to neglect the skills which you learned as an occupational therapist. Just as tonight you have realised your calling, these skills were also God-given. Indeed, don't neglect any of the gifts and skills you've been given in either of your chosen professions. Be a faithful student of the Holy Scriptures. That's that what you read, you may believe. That what you believe, you may teach. And what you teach, you may practice. Pray with perseverance. Renew your mind. Refresh your body. Open your life to be filled with the fullness of God. And Gillian, you've achieved all that you've done to date in your chosen professions or in life in general, had a family and that you're bringing up your husband Mark, your three girls, despite being born with a right hand which has never had any fingers or an opposable thumb. This challenge, as we can all see tonight, has never set you back. Indeed, you told me the only thing you can't do is to replace a light bulb. Mark has to do that for you. When he's not working in his own consultancy, providing safety and other training for the construction industry, or taking out the bins, which I know from almost 40 years of marriage is something only men can do. Indeed, you make light of the challenge of your right hand, for you told me that you realised that God did indeed have a sense of humour when your first pregnancy resulted in the birth of your twins. A big enough challenge for a mother with two hands, but with Mark's help, you rose to that challenge. And Sally and Clara are here tonight to prove it. My third charge to you tonight, Gillian, is that having yourself risen to and overcome so many challenges in your own life by your own gentle example and humour and always dependent upon God's help, that you will show others amongst his people that there is no challenge in life which cannot be overcome and that they, like you, just have to discover the way. And probably most importantly, Gillian, my fourth charge to you is that you ensure that you take time for yourself and your husband Mark and all three of your girls, your twins, Sally and Clara, and your youngest daughter, Martha. With three girls aged from 7 to 11 and Mark working from home, although shortly I understand it to be consigned to a hut in the garden. It's a bit warmer tonight than last night, Mark, so you should be all right. I know that your manse will be a busy one, and I'm sure at times perhaps quite a noisy, and not a terribly relaxing one. The joys of family life. So take time to get out and do things as a family. For I know from personal experience that the days are short for you all before the girls all become too embarrassed to be seen out with mum and dad. And God help you, they'll soon be teenagers as well. I do assure you, as an elder who has always seen it as his duty to support ministers of word and sacrament, that if you take time for yourself and your family, you will better serve God's people in this place, beginning here and now. Care for the people in your charge as you exercise your own gifts. Encourage them to seek out and to use their own particular gifts as you pray continually for them. Gratefully receive the love and strength they also offer you. Seek to exhort and teach as one who is also under the word of God. Through sermon and sacrament, bring God's people to maturity of faith and send them out to live and serve the Lord, strong in the Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Reach out to those who have not yet come to the faith. Honour what is worthy in their lives. Love them as God's scattered children and seek to bring them safely home. Do not neglect the gift you have been given. Be a faithful student of the Holy Scriptures that you may read, you may believe what you believe, you may teach, and what you teach you may practice. Renew your mind, refresh your body, and be filled with the fullness of God. Now, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Would the congregation of Giffnock Orchard Hill please stand, if you are able. Today, a new ministry has begun, not of the one only who has made these solemn vows, but of you also who are members of Christ in this place. Now, I know from having accompanied this congregation on a small part of your journey for the last 10 years or so, that you, particularly some of you, who were and are office bearers in this congregation, have been to hell and back. But the key word there is back. This congregation is back through your steadfast faith, which has seen you through the bad times when you suffered and sustained and reconciled you with each other as light of God's love has overcome the darkness of evil. Indeed, to borrow a phrase, you have built back better. Please be seated. So I have some charges for you, the congregation. Tonight, first of all, I do want to, on behalf of Presbytery, to pay tribute to the pastoral care of both the Very Reverend John Miller and the Reverend Dr. Grant Barclay, who have, I know, both listened and on occasions wept, upheld and rejoiced with you on various parts of that journey. Indeed, John has had something of a second coming as interim moderator with you on this latest part of your journey to this evening. Seeing Terry Waite being interviewed a couple of weeks ago on the 30th anniversary of his release from captivity as a hostage in Beirut reminded me of something he said in an interview shortly after his release back in 1991, after 1,736 days, nearly 5 years, chained to the wall in a dark cell in Beirut. He was asked by the interviewer that clearly having suffered at the hands of Hezbollah, his captors, what was he now going to do about that? Terry Waite replied that if you suffer and do nothing with that suffering, that is a terrible waste. And any thought of revenge just means that the hurt goes on. It is therefore important that you take that experience of suffering and do something positive with it, as he's done with the Amaze shops and work that's offered to people through that group. And that, members of the congregation of Giffnock Orchard Hill, is both my charge and my challenge to you this evening. And although your past suffering has already seen a change in the law of the Church of Scotland, and that's no mean feat in itself, guided by your new minister, will you please take your past suffering and redeem it in outreach and adventure out safe the safe walls of this sanctuary and through the love of God? And there's obviously no better time to go on this adventure than the season of Advent. The clue is in the name. Go out of this place and further the kingdom of God under the leadership and guidance of your new minister. For after all of you here are inheritors of a long tradition of Christian worship in this place. God clearly has a purpose for you. ministering to his people in this place, and he's given you not only this rich history, but the people and all of the tools necessary to use in the furtherance of his kingdom in this community. You have been baptized into Christ. Each of you has received gifts by which you may share the ministry of the church. Renew these gifts by the exercise of Christ's ministry in the world. And as you use them in the building up the body of Christ in love, unity and peace. Gather in the house of God. Minister and people together. Wait expectantly for the living word. Seek in the sacraments the presence of Christ among you. Make offering of what you have and are and receive the blessing of God. As you welcome your new minister, Gillian, and her family, and I do have to say at this time of massive change in the history of our Church of Scotland, for you to have found a new minister after a vacancy of only 10 months, and one with the practical experience which Gillian Rooney already has in the ministry of our church right here in Orchard Hill, you have all been truly blessed by Almighty God. And as you welcome the new man's family to your midst, thank God for your good fortune and make this community of Christ a place of true welcome for those who seek or for those who are in need of any kind. Find ways of making the word declared in worship known publicly through what you say and what you do. Uphold and encourage the minister with your friendship and your prayers, asking for her and for yourselves that the Holy Spirit may be poured out richly upon you, that you may both know and do the will of God. So, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. You may sit. Almighty God, who in your great mercy made glad the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray for Gillian and her husband Mark and for each of their children, Martha, Clara and Sally, the new man's family in this place. May their love for each other be blessed by you. We pray also for your church in this place, for all that your love and peace has nurtured in this wonderful place for generation after generation, for their courage and fortitude in the face of the past suffering, and for the deliverance from that evil, and now for that greater perfection of your love which we know through our faith in you is to come, beginning with this new ministry this evening. We remember, O Lord, those who love this church, but whose illness or frailty, burdens or duties prevent them from being with us now. Keep us united with them and with the faithful who built up this church in the past, and help us to hand on to your children the heritage of faith untarnished and undiminished. Bring us with all your people to the fullness of your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I had a mentor in worship leading, the late Reverend Jimmy Campbell, who was an elder with me in his latter days on the Kirk Session at Hindland. And when he was training us in worship leading, one of us asked, what's the best way to end the service? He said, oh, that's easy. Give them 248 and send them home rejoicing. So tonight I give you CH4, hymn 248. And if you cannot rejoice after this service, then pray to God. Thank you. Now go for the sake of the gospel, redeemed by God's perfect love. Go in peace, but let us remember that it is a restless peace, because there is so much to do for the end of poverty and inequality and for the integrity of creation. So Lord, give us the peace that fights for peace, the peace that shakes us with the urgency of the kingdom, the peace that invades us with the wind of the Spirit. Give us, Lord, that restless peace that does not leave us in peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us and all those whom we love, and also with all those whom we may struggle to love, today, in the days of the new ministry just begun, here in Orchard Hill, and in all the days to come. Amen.